Please remain standing for today's scripture reading. Today we'll be pausing from our series in Genesis because we have a guest speaker with us, Pastor Wilson, which you'll be hearing more about later. So today our scripture reading comes from the book of Acts, from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. So if you have a Bible with you today, I encourage you to turn to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. It will also be projected behind me and on the screens throughout the building. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Let's continue worshiping through the song.
Hey, to have Pastor Wilson from Liberia coming in. He's a missionary. He is pastor of a church in Monrovia. He not only is pastor, but he also ministers to pastors in the area, and he has pastors' conferences, and he's here for a couple months, maybe 3 months, and he'll be traveling to other churches, and pray for him that doors will be open, that he might be able to go into new churches and to share his ministry. But Pastor, come on up, and we're so thankful to have you here.
Good morning. I'm so happy again to be back home. For those of you that have not met me, Pastor Ralph, I just told you, I'm Pastor Wilson from Liberia. I was here a few years ago at Moody, and this is my home church. So I'm glad to be back home. The church in Liberia extends greetings to the church here at Living Good News Bible Church. And the last time my wife and I came in 2014, it was difficult for her to meet all of you. That was the reason why she came to meet members and families at Good News Bible Church. It was not possible because I'd arrived and after 2 weeks, we lost our son back home and we have to return to Liberia. So she was so disappointed that she could not meet members of the families we have here at Living Hope Bible Church. Notwithstanding, we have been coping with the situation, and we thank you for your prayers and your financial support that you send us so that we will have a very good funeral for our son. We thank you so much. Let me start with this. We have been doing a lot of things in Liberia, as you know. The photos are so poor. The first one you see there, that is a Muslim young man named Boakai Kamara. His father is the president of the Muslim Council in Liberia, and he is converted to our faith. And this young man has been a very close friend to my son that passed away. And through that, God brought him to himself. So that is Boakai I was leading him to Christ, and that is, he is now a believer in Christ Jesus. We have been having people coming up to receive Christ. Those that some of them, you see, his grandma, she's 91 years old. And Jesus did not say, no, you are too old. You have been living your life, and you have not come to me, so I'm going to reject you. Though she was 91 when she accepted Christ, and these are some young people that have been coming to receive Jesus. That's boy Kakamara. He's now our son. He's living with us in the home. Boyka, we baptized him already, you know. We don't want to waste time with that. We baptized him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is our target. This is Boyka's younger sister. That is his niece. They are still Muslim, but they are very close to our family, and we are working on them so that they will accept Jesus. That's Boyka's mother. Three of them sometimes come to our worship service. And nobody bothered them from the Muslim council. They always come to church. So God is working. That's our congregation. That's just typical worship service. Those are the people sitting down waiting for God's word to be delivered. That's my wife. We have a ministry called Feed the Hungry. And there is a couple here in Libertyville that support this ministry in the church every month. They send us $100 so that we will have food every fresh Sunday when we go to church. So my wife is preparing the fish for that day. You can see what they are doing. They are really enjoying the food. Those are children that come to our church. We have a lot of them. So we use this particular Feed the Children ministry to get to the little kids in the community. Education is very important. There's another couple here in America that support these children in school. So the mind is a terrible thing to waste. And they are helping out that these young people go to school. We have begun to do church planting, you know. For 6 years, we have not done this. We want to be established before we go out. Now we are 6 years old as a ministry. So we are now going out, and we have planted our first church outside of the city. It's 200 miles away from Monrovia, where we are. These are the men from that new church. We are doing leadership training, equipping the saints. And what you see here, it was a leadership training seminar, and we gave them certificates after the leadership training seminar for 3 days. Those are men that usually come to help me to do the teaching of people that come to those seminars. This is Defending Your Faith workshop that was held 300 miles away from Manura in a place called Riverstairs. And while you're sitting there, you see the flag of Liberia. The two men there are commissioners, they're government officials, so they are also Christians. So what we do, we bring the pastors to, like, as it were, they are arrested and they go to court. How do you defend your faith when you are attacked for believing in Jesus? So that is just a demonstration. So those pastors come there and we teach them the word of God, how you should defend your faith in time of prosecution. Even though we are not yet being prosecuted, but we are preparing them. Those are pastors defending their faith before the government in the workshop. We have the press come in to interview some of them, what they learned from this workshop. That's why that's a journalist and that's a woman, and this is the pastor, and they are being interviewed. That's my wife. He who found a wife found a good thing. That's my wife. She we have been married for 32 years now, and she is still growing very strong. I think she is my mentor. That's my daughter, Jemima, that was so kind of moody, but things had not worked out. She's doing great. And that's Zephaniah, my son. He's doing great. That's Kathy, my daughter. And that's Mr. Wonder, who was 3 years old when I came to Moody. He's now 15 and is now in 12th grade. He's doing well. This guy on the left is my son that passed away, that's Ebenezer. And the third one is Zephaniah. It was during their graduation ceremony. That was when we reached 6 years old. At the ministry, we had a special program for our sixth anniversary. Okay, I think we can stop there. Those are few things we are doing. There are more what we are doing, but we just want to let you know that God is doing some great things in the ministry in Liberia. Now, what I want to do for the last minutes that I have is to speak to us from God's Word. Last Sunday, when I came to church, I went in the basement where we go after worship service every Sunday. And I heard and saw something going on there. And that was interesting. This morning, I went back there and I saw the same thing. And what did I see? I saw a group of young people practicing, getting ready for the Sunday worship service to come up here or to go somewhere to minister in songs. What we usually do, if you are a member of the praise team or in the mass choir, you go out and learn the song, and then before the concert or the worship service, the members of the choir usually meet for what we call a rehearsal. And that is to recount and review and practice what you have learned before, so that when time comes, you will be effective enough to do what your teacher had taught you. In Acts chapter 1, this is what Jesus is doing here. Jesus had been living on earth for some time. He gathered some men and women around him called his disciples. He had been teaching them so many important things. He had been put to death. He rose again from the dead. Then, after his resurrection, Jesus had a rehearsal. That is, within the 40 days after his resurrection, we find Jesus going back to the disciples, sitting down with them to explain more of what he had taught them in 3 years and a half. He went for a rehearsal to remind them over and over again the importance of the reason for which he came. Jesus had a rehearsal in Acts chapter 1. So with this, let me speak to you this morning on the subject, priority matters. I know we all have priorities in life. They are very important. And we pursue what we want to do. That could be our priority, and we take it very seriously. So Jesus, in this story, had a priority. The disciples also had a priority. And I want to ask us if we have priority and what those priorities are. Priority matters. Jesus had been raised from the dead, and in 40 days, the Bible says he talked to the disciples on things pertaining to the kingdom. That was Jesus' number one priority, the kingdom of God. This is what he had been talking about over and over to those that follow him. He prioritized the kingdom. So after the resurrection, he went to work again to talk and to review to these men and women how important the kingdom of God is. So he had a priority and he had a review. Now, the kingdom of God is the ring and the rule of God. That is why Jesus has been teaching. God is going to rule your life, and God must be the person to be the ruler of your life and in this world. Jesus took that very serious. So at the end, this is what he had in mind to leave with the men and women that followed him after his resurrection. Priority matters. Jesus had a spiritual priority, the kingdom priority. And that's why he was talking about. So he went and told them so many things. One thing he said to them is that I want you to remain here in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. That is a priority, a kingdom priority. You must wait in Jerusalem. It takes patience to wait. And you must be obedient to accept what Jesus said we must do. Wait in Jerusalem until you can receive the promise of the Father. Because I have a kingdom priority, and I want you to also prioritize this. So he told them, wait in Jerusalem. It takes obedience, it takes patience to wait in Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was not a conducive place for these men and women to be. We understand what they did to Jesus, their master. They saw it, they felt it. And we know what will happen to them when Jesus is no longer around them. But for Jesus to tell them, wait in Jerusalem, it takes men and women that will be obedient and be willing to bear patience. Jerusalem is not a good place for these men to stay at this time. But that was Jesus' priority. Remain in Jerusalem, receive the promise of the Father. But then we find that when Jesus had a special kingdom priority, the rule and the ring of God to be with these men and women that follow him, we find that the disciples have a different priority. Contrary to what Jesus had, his is the kingdom priority, spiritual priority. But let's see what the disciples have in verse number 5. What we see here is, as Jesus was on the topic of the kingdom, the importance of why he had come, these men interrupted his conversation. And somebody stepped out. Now, we don't know whether it was Peter. I don't want to blame Peter because he always do this. But it could be that all of them had a little meeting. And they said, look, we got to ask Jesus now for this very important thing we want. So maybe Peter was the one that came as the leader. And he asked Jesus, Master, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? You see how they changed the topic? They changed the subject. He's talking about the kingdom of God. They are talking about different kingdoms. So they have different priority. Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now look at the word restore. Now the word restore simply means that this kingdom has been in existence before, but it's no longer in existence. So they want it restored. So that simply means it couldn't be Jesus' kingdom, because God's kingdom had been in existence from everlasting to everlasting. It had not gone to sleep. It had not been dead. It is still very active and functioning. So when the disciple asked Jesus, will you at this time restore the kingdom? They are talking about an earthly, physical, touchable kingdom. Priority matters. Jesus' priority is different from what the disciples had. Jesus wants spiritual things. They are talking about physical kingdom. So they're asking, will you restore the kingdom? There is a phrase in that passage called, at this time. When? Now. We want it now. Because you are about to maybe leave us. We want the kingdom that we have been waiting for these years. We want it now, at this time, where we are sitting. Since you are now with us, we want you to give it to us now. Priority matters. The disciples had a different priority. They want a physical, touchable kingdom. And that was not what Jesus was after. But that is what they prioritized in their life, a physical kingdom. You know, this is not a mistake. In Mark chapter 10, verse 32 to 36, we have a story. Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem with his disciples. And the Bible says he was talking to the disciples of what he will meet when he gets to Jerusalem. I went to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be arrested, will be tortured. People will do all kinds of bad things to him, and at last they will put him to death. And while Jesus was talking about the suffering he will receive in Jerusalem, James and his brother John, the sons of Zebedee, they went out to Jesus. They have a priority different. But this is what they said to Jesus. Jesus, this is what we want. We want that in your kingdom, me and my brother, one sit on your left and one sit on your right. Oh yes, priority matters. We want in your kingdom. John sit on your right. I, James, sit on your right. On your left. Now the time has come. Christ is about to be taken away from them. Their priority is still what they are holding on. A physical, touchable kingdom. So Jesus had told them, it is not for you to know. This is not important. You want kingdom? Now it is not what you should be asking for. You see, these men and women that followed Jesus, their mind was on what their forefathers have been waiting for. That the Messiah will come and deliver them from the hands of their enemy. This is what they've been waiting for. Now they see Jesus coming. And they are not seeing Jesus giving them this kingdom. He's about to leave. We better corner him now to give us the kingdom before he leaves. I think what is running through the minds of these men and women that sit around there with Jesus because they want the kingdom. James and John had earlier asked that one sit on his left, the other sit on his right. Look, when you give us the kingdom now, you will be the president. James will be the vice president. John will be the secretary of state. And Matthew, that have been taking care of money, will be the secretary of the treasury. And of course, Peter will be the secretary of defense because he always had a sword with him. Then how about this man called Nathaniel, in whom there is no guilt? He could be the governor for Chicago. We want the kingdom. But then in verse number 7, Jesus told them, this is not what you should be looking for. This shouldn't be your priority. But let me give you another priority that you're supposed to be looking towards. It is in verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my ambassadors. You shall be my representative. You shall be my herald. You shall be my harvesters. To go in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in Liberia, and to the uttermost part of the world. This is kingdom priority. This is what I want you to do. I know priority matters. Let me read you a quote that I got from a Blue Line train. On September 14, I started the train. I was going towards Moody. And then I lifted my head, and this is what I saw written in the train. It is from a group called the Hopis. And this is what it says. Who matter most to you say the most about you. Our customers and your financial priorities matter most to us. That's true. Who matter most to you say the most about you. Our customers and your financial priority matters to us. Now Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God matters to him more than anything else. The rule and the ring of God matters to Jesus. And that should be our top priority. The disciples had a different one. But the good thing about this, after Jesus had gone back to the Father, we see that the disciple got it at last. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter had to go on the stage to preach a sermon and begin to quote the scripture so much so that 3,000 souls were saved that day. Oh yes. Their priority about the physical kingdom has shifted to the spiritual kingdom that Christ has been talking about. He preached a sermon and 3,000 souls got saved. In the next chapter, he preached another sermon and 5,000 people got saved. They have come to realize that the kingdom priority is the most important thing in their lives. and not the physical kingdom. While it is true that the physical kingdom will come one day, that's why we leave this life and Jesus returned to this earth. He promised that, yes, he's going to bring for 1,000 years and we are going to be with him. He promised the disciple and he said, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also that have followed me will sit on 12 thrones to rule the 12 tribes of Israel. Wow, they got this wrong. Yes, we're going to rule. But that is not what he was talking about. It's not in this world when he was still here. It is a future kingdom. Priority matters. I know we have different priorities in life. And those are very good priorities. Some of us prioritize education for the very good reason. You want to be educated enough to be a medical doctor to heal, to help those that are sick. Some of us want to be nurses to help people that are not well. That is a good priority. Some of us prioritize our health. We take exercise. We watch our diet. We prioritize our health. Our family is a priority. We want to be sure the family is well taken care of. So we prioritize our family. In fact, the Bible says, a man that cannot take care of his family is worse than an infidel. And so we are doing everything we can do to be sure our family is protected and is doing fine. That is a good priority. But above all of these things is the kingdom priority. Seek ye first the kingdom. Seek ye first the ring and the root of God, and all the other things shall be added unto you. So I want to ask you this morning, what priority you have that is above the kingdom priority? If you have any other priority outside of what Jesus prioritized, the kingdom, I urge you to switch to that kingdom priority. It is for all. Whatever matters much is why you talk about much. If the kingdom of God is your priority, then we go about announcing, because Jesus said, this should be your priority. Forget about the earthly kingdom for now and focus your mind on being my witness. Talk about me because you have seen and heard what I have been saying, and you could be the best witness for them. You should be my diplomat, my harvester. Go into all the world, for the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Kingdom priority. You know, circumstances can shift our priority. And so let me end with my own story. Situations can change our kingdom priority very easy if you are not standing firm in the faith. My wife suffered most from this. If you come from Africa and you come to America, you become a little god in an African thinking. You come from Liberia to come to America, oh yes, that guy will be a money guy. He's now in America. So Wilson came to America, stayed here for 7 years, and then decided to return to Liberia. Ridiculous. So I had two set of friends. Very good, very close friends that I really trust. But they were divided in their comments. Few of them were not 100% sure if I returned to Liberia. They were not really in favor of them, but they were not really against it anyway. But there was a greater portion of my friends who told me that I was getting crazy. That I will go back to Liberia to be a missionary. And the Liberians know what missionary go through when you are a missionary in Africa. What you go through? You live with the crickets. You don't have safe drinking water. You eat food you won't otherwise want to eat. You sleep in places you won't want to sleep. So they know to go back home to be a missionary is ridiculous for me. But I have a kingdom priority. And so I told them I'm going back home. Now I have gone back home And what they have told me, when you look at the broader picture, it is coming to pass. You have all the problems coming up that you cannot handle as an individual. So you have the kingdom priority ready for you. But right beside the kingdom priority is another one. So what should we do? Choose and continue with the kingdom priority, the rule and the reign of God over my life, or I switch and I say, well, you know, it's getting too tough. Let me change on the other side to this other priority. You see, the disciples were found in this predicament. Their master is about to leave. They will be left with the Pharisees who don't want to see them. They will be left with the Roman governor who don't want to see them. So they will be cornered. So what should we do? We want the kingdom to come so that we can be in charge. Priority matters. But you know, in the midst of all of these situations that we face, there is always hope. Because in God's kingdom, there is peace. There is joy. Unspeakable. And that is what is keeping us up. It is because we have decided to follow Jesus and keep that priority, no matter what come our way. The disciples got it alive, and I am sure we are going to get it. Priority matters in this life. It either be God's priority, or for the kingdom's work, or it be our own priority. Now, whatever our priorities are that are good and fall in line with God's priority, excellent, that is good. But those physical, touchable priorities should not supersede the priorities of God. May God bless you and keep you and make you strong in the faith to which He had called you. God be with you. Thank you.